I invite you to grab your pew Bibles from in front of you and flip open to John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. We actually will have the scripture reading on the screen for you this morning, because I'll be reading from the English Standard Version today, whereas what you have in front of you is the New International Version. The gist, the main idea is the same. There's just a little bit of emphasis and flavoring in the English Standard Version that that I really love. And so that's why I'll be reading from that. So if you want to follow along with what I'm reading, it's on the screen. And if you want to just read your Bible, it'll just sound a little funny in a couple of places. This is the word of the Lord. It's given to the Apostle John and related to us. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Well, this morning we are beginning a Lenten sermon series, Springtime for Your Soul. As we transition from winter to spring, most of us, I imagine, will celebrate that transition with the annual ritual known as spring cleaning. We clean out the cruft, the muck, the dust, and the general detritus that has built up around our homes and in our yards over the past year in preparation for the warmth and the growth of spring. Spring cleaning isn't usually fun, and it's almost always messy. But it's worth the work because we know what is to come as a result of it. Lent provides an opportunity for us to do some spiritual spring cleaning to make room for new spiritual growth. Our passage today gets to the heart of the opportunity that Lent provides for us, and speaks to what John Murray refers to as the central truth of the whole doctrine of salvation. It is the antidote to much that is broken and wrong in not just our lives, but also in our culture. It is the core need and desire we are each seeking to have met in any way possible. As we look at our passage this morning, we will see that when we seek to abide in Christ, we find the joy for which we are all searching. Now, I don't know if you noticed, the title of this morning's sermon is Grounded. When I say grounded, what comes to mind? Perhaps you think the same thing that most of our students thought. We're doing a series in youth group by the same title, Grounded, and I asked them the first week, what do you think of when I say grounded? And they pretty much all said, punished. Why are we in trouble? What did we do? And I get that. I really do. Because when I was a teenager, the worst thing that I could imagine my parents doing to me was grounding me for whatever it was that I'd done wrong. So what effort that I put into behaving was usually done mostly in an effort to avoid being grounded by all possible means. There were some times, some seasons in my life where I felt like my parents were just waiting for me to mess up so that they could finally throw the book at me. Oh, finally we get to ground him. somehow along the way, and I don't know when it was, but somewhere along the way, I began to think of God the same way. And I would be willing to bet that I'm probably not alone in that thought. Somewhere, we began thinking that God sits up in heaven waiting for us to commit a sin so that he can finally punish us for it. So we begin to do things to try to appease God's anger before it strikes. If we're just a little bit nicer to others, maybe if we go to church every Sunday, maybe if we just could just use the right words the right way when we pray, maybe if we could do just enough good things to outweigh the bad things, then maybe, just maybe, God won't be mad at me anymore. Maybe God won't be as disappointed with me. Maybe, oh gosh, if I'm really lucky, maybe I'll get just a little bit of blessing from him. This kind of thinking pops up, I think, for all of us at some point in time, no matter how long we've been a Christian, no matter whether we know better or not, because that kind of thinking is just simply human. And it's also, frankly, very American. Part of our culture, part of who we are, is we believe that we have to fix ourselves in order for God to be happy with us. And that if you fall down, well, you just got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And God's just waiting to see if he can. At no time of year is this more the case than during this time of year, this season of Lent, which began last Wednesday, which we call Ash Wednesday. Lent is very commonly understood as a season of sacrifice, giving up things that we like and enjoy. Like, how many of you are giving up chocolate? Nobody's raising their hand. I know you're out there. Right? Giving up things we like and enjoy. Apparently, I guess, because God is only happy with us if we're miserable. Now, I doubt any of us think that consciously, but I think it's there in the back of our minds for each of us. I know it's there. Because I know that that's how I thought about Lent for a really long time. Lent, we think, is a season of deprivation and penitence, where our devotion and faithfulness to God is shown and proven by the extent of our fasting. The more we give up, the holier we must be. And the depth of our repentance. God will know how earnest we are based on how much we self-flagellate. This is a complete misunderstanding of the role and purpose of suffering, of fasting, and of Lent itself. More importantly, it is a complete misunderstanding of the nature of God and the God who sent his Son to heal and restore us and what he desires from us. So this sermon isn't about being grounded in the sense of being punished by God, but rather grounded in the more literal sense of returning to the ground and having a firm basis for our faith. This is about getting to the essential essence of what it means to be a Christian, of what the Christian faith is all about, of what it is that God truly desires from each and every Christian. That goal isn't about appeasing God or trying to make God happy or anything like that at all. But rather, it is entirely about union and communion with God through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. As John Murray writes, "The life of true faith cannot be that of cold metallic assent. It must have the passion and the warmth of love and communion, because communion with God is the crown and apex of true religion. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Union with Christ is the central truth of the whole doctrine of salvation, all to which the people of God have been predestined in the eternal election of God. All that has been secured and procured for them in the once-for-all accomplishment of redemption, all of which they become the actual partakers in the application of redemption, and all that by God's grace they will become in the state of consummated bliss, is embraced within the compass of union and communion with Christ. And that, brothers and sisters, is the entire thrust of our scripture reading today. As Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you." As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We were created from the very beginning to be in relationship with God. So when we talk about being grounded, when we talk about getting back to the firm basis of our faith, we're talking about returning to the ground of our being, union with God, abiding with Christ. And Lent provides for us the perfect opportunity to focus intentionally on abiding with Christ. Now, as we mentioned in last Sunday's sermon, Lent comes from an Old English word, lengthen, which means springtime. As spring approaches, as we said at the top of the hour, we look around and notice all the clutter and muck and junk that's built up around our homes and whatnot. And we begin preparing for that annual ritual of spring cleaning. I don't know about you, but spring cleaning isn't something that I would ever describe as fun or joyous, or it's certainly not delightful. It's often hard work, and it's usually pretty messy, and sometimes it even means that we have to go and make a bigger mess in order to get to the cleaning that we desire to have. But we do it not because we enjoy wallowing in the muck or because we want to inflict suffering on ourselves, but rather because we know that in cleaning out the junk, we make room for the new growth that we are so excited to see come in springtime. And so it is with Lent. We look around in the corners and gardens of our soul, realizing that over the past year, a lot of spiritual cruft and detritus and muck has built up in our hearts. Just as the haze that builds up on our windows keeps us from enjoying the spring sunshine, so also this muck keeps us from the union with God that we were created for. It isn't fun spiritual work, and it often involves confession and lament and grief. But in Lent, we look for the things that have built up in our lives that are keeping us from abiding with Christ. And we take intentional steps in order to abide with Him more deeply. Sometimes that means letting go of things that are getting in the way. Sometimes it means taking on a new discipline or habit in order to foster better union. As a friend of mine, speaking of giving up things for Lent, said this past week, "May your choices be governed by a longing for someone, not simply the forfeiting of something." So how do we return to the ground of our being by seeking to abide with Christ? Well, that is exactly what Jesus is talking about with his disciples and us in our scripture reading today. The first step in returning to the ground is to abide in the true vine. As Jesus said, a branch can't bear fruit if it isn't connected to the right vine, and it certainly can't bear fruit if it's connected to two different vines. I'm not even sure that's possible. Does anybody do plant gardening? Can you have two vines? I don't know. Well, think of it. Can one branch be connected to an apple tree and an oak tree at the same time? If it did, would that result in a corny apple? That's what you're paying for. I don't know if that's what the result would be, but at best, it did provide a great opportunity for a corny joke. More than that, the branch needs to connect to the true vine. There are 1,000 different vines that promise life, but none of them do. Jesus said just a bit earlier in the same sermon that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And earlier, in John 10:10, he said, I have come that you might have life, more and better life than you have ever dreamed of. That life can only be found in Jesus Christ. Not in more money or more work, not at the bottom of a bottle, at the end of a video game, or in any other religion or philosophy. Only Jesus. Returning to the ground of our being begins and ends in Jesus Christ. The next thing Jesus makes clear is that we can stop trying to prove ourselves worthy of Him. He said, you are already clean by the word I've spoken to you. A funny thing happened while I was in college. It actually really wasn't a funny thing. I made a mistake. Well, to call it a mistake would be a radical understatement. And I knew this time my parents were absolutely going to throw the book at me. Not only did I know it, I knew that I deserved it. Now, being in college at this stage of the game, I was a little bit too old to be grounded. It's kind of like taking your teenager and putting him in timeout. Maybe I should try that. What do you think, Meg? Should I put you in timeout? You shrugged your shoulders. That was a kinder response than I expected. They couldn't ground me, but I was pretty confident they'd probably kick me out of the house. That night, when I confessed to my dad what I'd done, he did something I never expected. As I sat on my bed and wept, overwhelmed with my own grief and shame, my dad came and sat on the bed with me and held me in his arms while I cried. And we just sat there. And he just held me and held me and held me. Brothers and sisters, there is no need for self-flagellation. There is no need for you to wallow in your guilt and your shame. Stop trying to earn His love. You are already clean. You are already clean. You are already loved. So if we don't have to beat ourselves up anymore, what are we supposed to do? Have you ever felt like that? It's like, I don't have to beat myself up now. What else do I have? It's like that scene at the end of The Princess Bride, right? With Inigo Montoya, who's like, well, now that I don't have revenge on the six-fingered man anymore, what am I supposed to do? There's nothing left. Well, there is something left for you. You don't have to become the Dread Pirate Roberts. You just have to abide in Him. That is the third thing that Jesus makes clear. Jesus said quite simply, abide in me, and I will abide in you. The NIV uses the word remain. Another translation uses reside. Obviously, I'm rather fond of how the ESV uses abide. Partly because we just don't ever use that word anymore. So what are you going to do today? Oh, I'm going to go abide with my couch. This actually sounds like a really good idea. But mostly, I like how it flavors the passage. In his commentary on this passage, Rudolf Bultmann writes, to abide in His love, which is what is demanded of the disciple, means continuing in the love he has received in the state of being loved. It means that his existence is to be based completely on the revealer's service, as the foot washing has already made clear symbolically. You see, it's really not about our doing at all, but rather our being in Him. Of course, part of the problem is we, these days, really don't have any idea how to simply be. But being is at the core of abiding. And when we make abiding our priority, the doing just happens naturally. Kind of like we talked about with the kids, with the fruit. Fruit doesn't do anything. It just stays connected to the vine, and everything else just happens. When we abide in Christ, we will bear fruit. Jesus continues in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, if you come and visit our house and look at our yard, a quick glance will make it clear that I am not a horticulturalist. Remember, I'm the guy who said, hey, can you connect one branch to two trees? That was me. I wasn't kidding. I am trying to learn. I'm trying to get better. But my yard seems more often than not to resemble jungle far more than well-maintained yard. But I've noticed one thing. The branches on the trees in our yard bear fruit in season and out, year after year. They don't necessarily do anything special in order to bear their fruit and seeds. All they do, well, is abide in the tree. Now, of course, the advantage that they have is those branches very naturally and easily abide in the tree. We, on the other hand, well, we do not. We must make an effort in order to abide in him. But when we do, three things naturally happen as a result. First, as said in verse 5 and repeated in verse 8, we will bear fruit. Secondly, we will bring glory to God. And finally, we will show ourselves to be disciples of Jesus Christ. So how exactly do we go about abiding in Christ? Jesus continues in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. Now, brothers and sisters, don't misunderstand what's happening here. This isn't about trying to be obedient in order to appease God, or to try to make him happy with us. We're already clean. Remember, he started with that for a reason. Rather, this is about cultivating the soil. It's about creating an environment that makes it easier for us to abide in him. And an essential part of that cultivation of the soil is obedience. If we are living in active, willful sin, and we know it, we won't be able to abide in Christ. On the other hand, when we are seeking to be faithful to his commands, it becomes so much easier to abide in him. But please, don't take this on as a burden. This isn't about a legalistic or dogmatically religious obedience. Listen to Jesus' words from Matthew 11. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Likewise, Lent isn't supposed to be something heavy or ill-fitting either. On the contrary, it is simply an opportunity for us to be intentional about looking for those things that keep us from experiencing union with Christ, from abiding with him. As Chuck DeGroat wrote in yesterday's devotional, the reality is, my heart is so fickle and so easily satisfied by cheap imitations of love that I'd have to give up just about everything good and God-given to do Lent right. But maybe Lent isn't about giving up our favorite treats or doing self-discipline right. Perhaps Lent is about becoming aware through daily attentiveness to the reality that we are created from the dust living spirits, that we are enough, that everything we need and long for is already ours in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, may God bless each one of us this week as we seek to be attentive to the ways we can more intentionally abide in Christ, as well as the activities and areas of our lives that might be a hindrance to abiding with Him. And may we find, just as the green of spring begins to appear as we clean up our yards, we find a deeper joy sprouting in our hearts through our union with Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we hear Jesus' words and we feel a pull in our heart, a yearning to draw closer to You. It's like a glass of water on a hot summer day.
Lord, thank You for Your patience with us in the seasons when we do not abide in You. Thank You for always calling to us and for never giving up on us. Give us that desire to abide ever more deeply with You in all that we are, so that we may know all that You are. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.